You're listening to the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS Thursday. I'm Michael Cohen. 1320 WILS weather, 11 degrees right now. Tomorrow, a high of just 16. We're staying very cold with a low of 9. And Saturday, a high of 20 going down to 9 again. So single digits, really, at least for tonight. Our power grid, how vulnerable is it? We now know that the Russians were not the ones that got that were involved in that suspicious internet activity involved with a Vermont utility computer. But how easy could it be to actually infiltrate our national power grid? Tim Yardley is with us, Associate Director of Technology at the Information Trust Institute at the University of Illinois. His research focuses on the trustworthiness and resilience of cybersecurity systems like our power grid. Tim, great to have you on WILS.
Hi, great to join.
Yeah, and the grid itself, how massive would you say it really is?
Well, you know, the grid is a huge, complex machine. So there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of potential, you know, paths of attack. Mm-hmm. So it's a very vulnerable system, but that doesn't mean that it isn't well protected.
From what I read, there are over 7,600 power plants out there. Now, what would it take if you're trying to infiltrate the grid with a cyber attack? How would you be able to go about it?
It really depends on what the motivation is. You know, the thing to remember is that the grid is a big, complex machine, right? So if your motivation is to cause a blackout, well, where, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's each individual entity effectively is running autonomously, but then is connected to a greater whole. So the motivations really drive, you know, what the threat vectors are, and then you determine how to protect those threat vectors accordingly.
We saw that outage that occurred well years ago now that took out power here in Michigan and on the East Coast, where there's some kind of a domino effect. Is that something that could be done through a cyber attack?
Yeah, that's what's called a cascading failure. Most commonly, those happen as a result of, say, Mother Nature. But a particular coordinated action can cause a cascading failure like that to happen, and those means are possible via cyber means, which is why we need to work to protect and then defend those systems.
Okay, so is the grid, the computers that run, are they connected to the internet itself right now?
Generally speaking, no. They're typically air-gapped on a completely separate network, but that doesn't mean that that people don't misconfigure things at times or have other instances in which things do end up on the internet. Mm-hmm. Those tend to be rare, especially for the large utilities.
Right. I mean, there's a cyber attack, but there are also things like EMPs, electromagnetic pulse. I don't know very much about it, but how would you stack that in terms of the vulnerability of the grid to a cyber attack?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at vulnerability, there's really two things that really matter. One is keeping the lights on. The other is maintaining a certain level of power quality, and that's basically making sure that your voltages are at the right level so that devices operate correctly when they're receiving the power.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to EMP basically is a physical attack. It makes it so that the signals, those voltage signals and current signals that are going across the wires don't work right anymore, and the devices that are running don't work right anymore, causes interference with those.
Could that somehow disrupt the larger grid itself then?
Yeah, so an EMP can cause a blackout as an example. Any physical attack, though, can cause a blackout. You know, somebody running a bus into a telephone pole can cause an outage for a particular area. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how fast the utility can recover from those and how catastrophic or what the result is of that impact event, per se. So does it cause a cascading failure? Does it cause an overload of circuits, et cetera? Or is it just the region that's not served because they're on a branch of the grid, as an example, that was affected by that?
Tim Yardley with us from the Information Trust Institute. Now, the Congress is working on this thing called the SHIELD Act. Are you familiar with this thing?
Yes, a little.
Now the idea apparently is to protect us from EMPs and solar flares. At this moment, how vulnerable are we to that kind of an attack, an EMP attack, would you say?
Well, I'm definitely not an expert in that field, but when it comes to general EMP, devices specifically aren't hardened against that. So if somebody sets off a sufficiently large EMP, it's going to disrupt all electronic stuff, not just the grid, but anything else that you know, you use cell phones and computers and things like that.
Is that basically
not using electricity?
Is that an explosion, essentially? Is that what it would be?
It's a big magnetic pulse. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's like somebody sets off a really big magnet is sort of how it operates. Okay. And you get the electromagnetic radiation that then affects how the computers operate and the circuits operate and the electricity flows.
Okay, so it would be almost like a local or regional type of a attack, potentially?
Yeah, it is very regional. Now, solar flares are bigger and broader because they're, you know, Mother Nature that are doing this. But solar flares will still only affect a particular region. You won't see them affecting, you know, say, the entire Earth all at once.
So at this moment where we stand now, how vulnerable do you really feel the grid itself is to a major long-term blackout?
Well, I think the grid is very resilient in its current form, but there are pressure points that attackers can leverage that can affect particular regions. In other words, there are regions that are more sensitive. Overall, would we see a systemic, you know, U.S. grid blackout? Probably not, but there are particular areas that may be susceptible to that over time. Now it's just a matter of recovering, and all the utilities have plenty of experience in recovering from faults as long as they know what those faults are.
Okay. I remember reading once that there are almost a handful, I think, or less than a dozen substations or major interaction points where if they were all hit simultaneously, it could really impact the larger grid for potentially a long time. Is that true?
It really depends on how they're affected. With the right type of coordinated attack, a large portion of the grid could get affected. But it's a matter of what that attack did as to how fast the utilities can recover from that.
Okay.
Would it be a systemic long-term outage? Maybe. It depends on what happens. But typically those are only those events only happen when there's physical damage to equipment. That's much harder to recover from when there's a physical issue rather than, say, a cyber means. But when there's a cyber attack, the biggest concern is, what do you now trust?
Mm-hmm.
What can you rely on?
Well, what do you mean by that?
So if an attacker attacks a system, you don't know if they modified settings. You don't know if they're still on the system. You don't know what has happened effectively on the system. So a lot of time has to be spent in understanding, can I trust that when I turn this back on, it's going to stay on and not make things worse?
Interesting.
There's a big funding effort from DARPA that's going into protecting and recovering from these types of scenarios, doing this sort of forensic response to understand what happened and how it happens so that you can recover even faster.
I mean, how updated and modern would you say the computer systems are that run the grid in most utilities?
Some of them are very, very updated, but they're controlling very old technology. And by old technology, you know, we're talking 20, 30, 40-year-old pieces of equipment that are still, you know, running the grid today. The good thing is those pieces of equipment are fairly robust and do their job well, but they're not modern technology.
And, so,
and that's both a benefit and a drawback.
Okay. Is there a point where that's going to have to be dealt with?
Yeah, I mean, the grid is constantly undergoing modernization. Department of Energy and the U.S. government has put in tons and tons of money to bring new functionality, new capabilities, et cetera. One of the keys is, as we incorporate more renewable energy, how we operate the grid changes to a more dynamic nature, because when the wind is blowing, we have more power. When the sun is out, we have more power, et cetera, with renewables. Versus the sort of tried and true of, say, coal or nuclear, which are just always providing power. So when you get that dynamic aspect, you have to have more intelligent systems, and you operate closer to thresholds, and you have to deal with forecasting in a better way. So all sorts of modernization is already happening, and all sorts of modernization will continue to happen, both on the science side, understanding how the problem is addressed, and on the technology side to actually implement new technology. And that goes for actual grid operation and cybersecurity both.
Well, one last thing. Former CIA Director James Woolsey, he's called the electric grid, quote, one of our greatest national vulnerabilities. He said, quote, if you get up into the months or years of the electric grid going down, it could take us way back into the 1880s. That would be what life would be like here in the U.S. Is that something that's likely not ever going to happen in your view then?
Well, I'm not saying it's never going to happen. It is a prime target, right? You know, if somebody really wants to, if a nation really wants to cause problems with the U.S. government or our society as a whole, then the power grid, you know, is central to that. It runs everything that we are as a society today. So it is a ripe target. But it's also a very dangerous one. You know, it's the equivalent of you know, declaring war on another nation is by doing that, right? Yeah. So there are repercussions to it. And so the entity that does it has to be sufficiently motivated to enter basically a physical war, in my opinion.
And the EMPs, how would that work? Would they actually launch some kind of a weapon that would cause an EMP pulse on our side, on our grid, or how'd that even work, do you know?
Well, I'm not an expert in EMP, but the gist of it is it's sort of equivalent to a bomb that goes off that then generates this stuff. So delivery mechanism can be multiple different aspects, but that electromagnetic interference happens, you know, basically in the locale by some device that's been delivered or arrived or whatever.
Yeah. Tim Yardley, Associate Director of Technology at the Information Trust Institute. That's at the University of Illinois. Tim, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
You have a great day.
Yep, you too. And that's good news. I've heard all kinds of scary thoughts on what might happen, but it sounds like for now we're holding it together. How's it looking, Solomon? So let's do this. Give Melissa a call. Give Melissa a call. We're trying to get our next guest on. We may do some shuffling here. Oh, we will do some shuffling. Actually, we'll be back in just a minute. So hang on. We'll be right back.